because LeBron's got that kind of stroke. Oh, yes, he does. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. That's the number for you to call. We did an All-NBA first hour opening up with Malik Beasley and that crazy story from Detroit. Not only the feds all over his ass for fixing games and props and all that stuff, which is the biggest problem that he's got, but the incredible amount of debt and bad business deals that he's made and agreed to in his brief NBA career, near sixth man of the year. This past year, almost was offered a three-year, $42 million deal by the Pistons, which seemingly is off the board now. And who knows if his NBA career is off the board now. Then we gave you the news about Mike Brown being the new head coach of the New York Knicks. And who they didn't talk to is the most surprising thing. Not that they hired Mike Brown. I think that's actually a good hire. But who they didn't talk to is an entire laundry list of names that I immediately identified the day they fired Budenholzer is one of those names. The day they fired Thibodeau, on this very show, we outlined a bunch of different candidates that they had to talk to, and they didn't talk to any of them, which is just nuts. Just insane. And then we got into LeBron James. You heard what Brian Windhorst said. He said now he's unlocking the key to a trade. Listen, there is a lot of buzz and a lot of speculation that LeBron, by opting in his contract, is going to use that. A, if the Lakers make satisfactory moves, he's going to stay. B, he's going to request, demand, whatever, a trade. Or somehow they work out a buyout, and then LeBron can go wherever he wants to go. We'll see. I think LeBron James, as usual, is trying to control the NBA through Rich Paul. Let Rich Paul be the bad guy. Let those susceptible in the media just say, oh, he's not doing anything other than what you would do if you had leverage.
Yes, I think I agree with you to the extent that, like, he has influences on franchise. And we can sit here and agree that he's put the Lakers in a bad spot. Precisely. But once you say he's trying to take over the NBA, I just feel like that's like paranoid YouTube wormhole talk. Like, it's just a drastic step, no?
Maybe it's not fair. Maybe it's not fair. Nobody said sports talk radio is fair. Life is not fair.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
It's my perception that Rich Paul and LeBron James walk in the front door that Brian Windhorst has now unlocked in their high thread count white bathrobes laced with gold, a cigar in their mouth, and they show up and they said, give us what we want. You know? Give us what we want.
Imagine Tony
Soprano. Do what we want. Exactly. Now, they don't have guns, right? And they're not taking anybody out. But they can take a franchise out by their leverage, by their power, by their vision. And I know just last summer, LeBron was orchestrating all the shots. Now, whether he is or he isn't now, I don't know. I want to get into, in just a little bit, something I saw pop up about the Mount Rushmore of NFL teams, or I'm sorry, four players that make up the Mount Rushmore of each and every individual team. I want to get into that from a Commanders/Washington Redskins/Washington football team perspective. But first, want to get to Paul on line two. You're going to have to help me out here again, AMAC, because the system is not working yet again. Paul is with us, I believe, in D.C. What up, Paul? How are you?
What's up, Chris? How you doing,
man?
I agree with everything you said about LeBron James. As a Laker fan, I'd be glad when he leaves. Please trade him. Because, I think Jenny Buss has been very accommodating, and I think that she's also been frustrated with how he's dictated and tried to always clean his hands of stuff that's been done. They always want to blame everybody else for their failure, whether it's Rob Pelinka. And we're speaking of a good coach, Mike Brown, had them as the number one seed, including 2-3 years in a row, and then he wound up getting him fired. You know, so it's never LeBron James' fault. It's Eric Spoelstra's fault. Right. It's Pat Riley's fault. It's Jenny Buss' fault or Rob Pelinka's fault. It's David, whoever, the guy that owned the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's everybody else's fault but him and his team. And as a result, I'll be glad when he goes, to be honest with you. Because what he does is he might give you a championship once in a blue, depending on how you look at it, but he also destroys your franchise for the mm-hmm. next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Because he makes you mortgage your future for his legacy, not the team's legacy. Because when you look at what the Lakers gave up to keep him, whether that is Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, Jason Hart, all of these guys have gone on. Larry Nance, all these guys have gone on to other franchises and kind of reinvigorated those franchises. Julius Randle went to New York and really put the stamp on that franchise so they can get to where they are now, even though they traded him. But look what he did with Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I agree. I mean, when you think about Lonzo Ball and all those guys, he could have helped them elevate, but instead he wanted to send them all out the door for Anthony Davis. And then when Anthony Davis should have been the MVP of that championship in the bubble. But they gave it to LeBron because of his name. That's reality.
You know, Paul, so. I love your passion, obviously, your deep knowledge. It's great. I am a little surprised, though, because you identify yourself as a Lakers fan, and I would say that LeBron gives you the best. Having LeBron, especially paired with Luka, who hopefully would be healthy, gives you the best opportunity to win a championship this year, right? But
I don't think so. Because truth be told, in the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. they targeted LeBron James and Luka both on their defense. Because LeBron is good. He's a great help defender, right. But he's not a good on the ball defender anymore.
Sure, but he's 40 years old. He's 40 years old, too.
And I get that. I get that. So I'm saying if you could trade him and get you a nice young piece to pair with Luka and maybe a big man, too. I like Eric Dickerson. Don't sleep on him from Villanova. I think that the Lakers picked up a good one in the undrafted free agent market.
So you think, just to finish the question, you think they have a better chance of winning an NBA championship this year without LeBron than with LeBron?
Yeah I really do. Okay. I mean, LeBron is a stat stuffer. He's a stat stuffer. I'm not going to take that away mm-hmm. from him. He can put up stats. He has a physical specimen of a body where he can just bully you into the basket. I get that.
What if, just for the purposes of time here, because I like rapping with you. What if I present this to you? LeBron is making these kind of veiled threats that he might leave, and you know that he might want to trade, and might get a buyout, and this, that, and the other thing. Might want to compete for a championship. All that. What if they? Whatever they decide to do and whatever he decides to do, they stay together, right? And it's an uncomfortable marriage. Maybe it's a marriage of convenience, whatever. But then I told you in February, let's just use February, things are not going great. Maybe Luka's hurt again or whatever, and then you trade him. Would that be a better option for you than trading him right now?
I don't know. It really depends because, see, sometimes you get a better value now than you do during the season because
sure.
people already know where they stand.
Yeah, you have the
people
whole year, too.
People already know where they stand.
Sure.
So, right, exactly. So, say like Cleveland Cavaliers. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers or one of those other teams that's on the brink of making a play, you're going to stick with what you have most of the time. You know what I mean? So, I mean, for us to get Luka in the middle of the season last year was a blessing. Mm-hmm. And my thing is that everyone wanted to attack Luka, but people forget the man was coming off a stomach virus. And J.J. Redick played him the whole second half, 2 games in a row. Like, yeah. That was the most asinine thing. And why is J.J. Redick the coach? Because of LeBron James.
Well, and that was the one incident from last year that I didn't even mention. I mean, I mentioned LeBron. I mentioned staying with them. But J.J. Redick was his choice.
That man is a novice in terms of coaching. Yeah. He should not have gotten that job. And Mike Brown was more deserving of a job. Yeah. I think the Knicks got a great hire in Mike Brown.
And
good thing for J.J. Redick, Jenny Buss had enough sense to hire Nate McMillan and Scott Brooks to back him up. That's the big thing. And he still screwed it up.
With him. Good call, Paul. Appreciate you. Great call. Love the knowledge and love the passion. No doubt about it. That's Paul in D.C. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Lap here in D. DC. Sorry, I keep trying to hit the button here, and it's not working for me. What up, Lappy? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rooster? Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk about LeBron, I mean, I don't like his antics. Of course, I can't stand LeBron, but I respect his greatness. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like the last call. I'm kind of sick of LeBron. I'm ready for him to retire officially and be done for real. I'll never forget how they cheated against us with Gilbert. You know what I'm saying? We got three players, Karan, Jameson, and Gilbert, putting up almost 80 points, and one dude beat us, and then the ref wasn't calling. LeBron was traveling, so I'll never forget that, man. And then he put us out in the playoffs three straight seasons, so I'll never forget that. But, you know, you make some great points, but every superstar is going to do that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has done it. Tom Brady's done it. Peyton Manning's done it. I mean, every superstar is going to control the narrative of what they want, you know, and it's messed up sometimes, but then, you know, it's deserving it sometimes because they made the league a lot of money. But sometimes when you're older and you're more mature, it's just the way that you handle things. You can't be selfish. You got to think about everybody in the team. So hopefully they do better. The Malik Beasley thing, man, that is sad, man. I mean, this is like crazy across like some of the major sports. You'd be seeing a lot of these athletes bet, like, is the money not good? Are they really like on their luck, or they feel like it's an angle to whatever? Because if he was gonna get 40 some million, Rooster, I'm like, bro, you don't need to do no gambling. Like, and I was talking to a guy that I know I play ball with, and he was just telling me like guys that made mistakes back in the day that's in jail, like, it's so much talent. And you got a guy that made it to the league and just gambling and messing in, but you got guys that messed up in their life and made it, you know, dumb mistakes, and, you know, they're in jail, and, you know, some of the best athletes, you know, is behind bars right now. So I just don't understand that, man. Hopefully everything works out for him and his family, but, man, that sucks. And Mike Brown was a good hire, too, Rooster. I like Mike Brown. I wish he could have came to the Wizards, because I told you we need a coach. Mm-hmm. But it will be nice to see Mark Jackson or Sam Cassell come to it. And shoot, if LeBron wanted to be in a given mood, shoot, come to the Wizards. Help us get a chip. KD, KD, come here. Give us one season, man, and see what we could do.
You want to do, like, Michael Jordan all over again?
Yeah, I guess so, man. We'll take a win, because we got to focus on the Commanders right now, Rooster. The Wizards going to be a while, but it is some good young talent, though. But we'll see in a few years how it goes.
Thank you, Lappy. Appreciate you. Good to hear from you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It just continues to get worse at Nationals Park. We'll have an update for you coming up a little bit later on the carnage. Let's get to Nate in Upper Marlboro, and then we'll take a timeout. What's up, Nate? How are you, pal?
What's up, man? Not much.
What's shaking, Nate?
And not much. First thing on with Malik Beasley, that was just crazy and stupid, man. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Like the last caller said, he was already about to be, you know, coming up for some money that she was, you know, that she was working to get anyway. So that was just crazy, man. I don't understand it.
I don't know if he, you know, clearly he was making a lot of these bad decisions that he's accused of that are part of the public record before he got offered that 3-year, $42 million deal. Clearly, he was only making 1 year, $6 million, and I say only. I mean, obviously, it's a ton of money. Last year, so it seems like a lot of his reckless decisions that he's accused of, and I just want to, you know, just be legal, accused of, came before all of the big money that this year generated, or at least the offer or the potential offer. So I want to be clear. But either way, right, it's not like he was working for nickels and dimes. He was making $6 million a year last year. And I don't know what he made before that. I would have to double-check that, and I really don't care. It's not like he was working for free before then either.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I just don't get it. And I never will. I never will understand that, especially when you're already making lump sums of money anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I understand, you know, you make bad business decisions and all that, but you're still in a profession where you can get paid to overcome that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the LeBron thing and all that, man, not just LeBron, but any player or to me, anybody in any situation that has leverage, right, and uses it, fine. You got the right to use your leverage however way. Mm-hmm. I don't look at them any kind of way. I look at the people they're holding the leverage on. So the Lakers, right, the organization, the Lakers. I'm looking at the Lakers because, okay, yeah, LeBron has the leverage, but he's a player. But you are the one who makes the final decision. Didn't Dallas just trade Luka? Everybody in the world would have thought Luka had all the leverage, right?
Yeah.
Right, and Dallas just traded him, right?
Well, sometimes, no, you can do whatever you want as an organization, ultimately, but look at the backlash when Dallas makes a decision. They don't like whatever Luka's doing behind the scenes. Look at the backlash that Dallas has had to deal with. People think their general manager is an incompetent circus animal. I mean, that they think that the organization is completely clueless. I got to be honest with you. I'm like, Luka Doncic is a great scorer and all that stuff, and I'm sure he'll be fine in Los Angeles. I wasn't as angry with Dallas about that. Like, I didn't quite understand it. If they were worried about injuries because Anthony Davis is always hurt. But I believe if you told me, Dallas, are they better with Luka Doncic or are they better with, right now, Anthony Davis, Cooper Flagg, they re-signed Daniel Gafford, they re-signed Kyrie Irving. They're way better today than they were 4 months ago or 5 months ago. And obviously, I understand that that's the number one overall pick. They got lucky there. I get it. Yeah. But, you know, maybe without some of their decisions, they would have, instead of finishing 10th in the West, maybe they would have finished 7th or 8th, 6th in the West, and they wouldn't have been in position to get the lottery ball.
That's true. But, I mean, the point I was making was that, you know, regardless of any kind of backlash or whatever, Dallas made a decision, and I'm quite sure they knew they were going to get backlash and all that, right? But they made a decision, and they stuck with it. They didn't let a player of Luka's caliber, you know, hold them hostage to whatever it is they want to do. So I don't look at anybody who holds leverage, because that's like if you thought you had leverage over me, like you were saying to your coworker about going to your boss, okay, well, then now the boss has a choice to say, okay, well, I'm going to keep you or I can let you go. So I don't really, you know, I don't hold none of that against the players. And the Mike Brown thing, I mean, I know I hear everybody, you know, dogging LeBron, but what has Mike Brown won since he left LeBron? I don't even think he's been to the championship since he left LeBron.
He's won championships as an associate head coach, right?
As
a head coach, two-time head coach of the year, including just recently in 2024 or 2023.
And then he get fired?
Yeah. He got fired after a 13-18 start after winning Coach of the Year and having the number one offense in the league. And making the playoffs for the first time in 16 years.
But what I'm saying, as a head coach, what has he accomplished as a head coach?
No, you're right. He hasn't. They were in the NBA Finals when he was with the Cavaliers as the head coach.
And who was the player?
Of course. Understood.
Right.
Understood.
Right. So I think we can kill that.
I got you.
In my opinion, I killed that Mike Brown stuff. But, all right, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Nate. Appreciate you. Good call. Good to hear from you. Yeah, as an assistant head coach, he's a four-time NBA champion. As a head coach, Mike Brown, now the new head coach of the Knicks, two-time NBA coach of the year, and again, most recently in 2023, led number one offense, coach of the year, and got fired 31 games in. Welcome to the NBA, where Rich Paul, LeBron James, and stupid owners make stupid decisions. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, an update of the carnage at Nationals Park just coming up in a couple of minutes for Washington. But I wanted to turn the page away from the NBA and get into this. I saw this pop up, Total Pro Sports, whatever that is, and it popped up again on my computer, as a lot of my story ideas do. And I'm more worried about story content and topic content and development and opinions and all that stuff than I am about guests. So we don't do a lot of guests, as everybody kind of knows. So here's what I want from you. It's titled All 32 NFL Teams Mount Rushmore. which four players made it for your team? And so I started thinking, well, there's obviously, for the Washington Redskins slash football team slash Commanders, there's some obvious choices, right? You start with Darryl Green. You start with Sammy Ball. And on my initial list, without thinking much, I put John Riggins. On my Washington NFL, Mount Rushmore. And then the fourth, I said, well, let's have kind of a debate. And I left it blank. And I thought, well, certainly Art Monk deserves strong, if not overwhelming consideration. But what if we expanded the argument to beyond players? Is it Coach Gibbs? Is it Bobby Bethard? Is it just a player, if we just keep it like that? Is it a Bobby Mitchell? Is it a Brian Mitchell? Is it Russ Grimm? Is it Trent Williams? Is it Terry McLaurin? There's a lot of different options that you can have. But what I came to find out was, at least in this one particular project, again, Total Pro Sports, for whatever that's worth, they didn't have John Riggins as their four Mount Rushmore Redskin players or Washington NFL players, just to make it easier. They didn't have John Riggins. They went with Darryl Green, Sammy Ball, Art Monk, and Russ Grimm. No John Riggins. No current. And again, they did players. But I'm expanding it for you to include Coach Gibbs, to include Bobby Bethard, who are both Hall of Famers, and obviously gave you a couple of other modern-day options. I didn't even mention my former broadcast partners, Sonny Jurgensen and Sam Huff. Again, if you want to give them consideration, how about Champ Bailey, somebody who wasn't here very long but made a tremendous impact? And what about, is it possible that Jaden Daniels is already on that list after just 1 year? Is it Darryl Green, Sammy Ball? Let's just say Art Monk. And for the fourth, Jaden Daniels? Over some of the other names that I mentioned? How do you, the Washington NFL fan, whether it be Redskin, Commanders, or football teamers, how do you grade, rank the top four? And again, we'll let you step off at just to do something different. We'll let you include coach, general manager, what have you, owner, if you want, into the Mount Rushmore of Washington NFL history. Again, Total Pro Sports has Darryl Green, Sammy Ball, Russ Grimm, and Art Monk. On my initial list, I put Darryl Green, Sammy Ball, John Riggins, and I left four blank thinking we could have a good debate. But maybe John Riggins doesn't deserve to be on there at all. He wasn't here maybe long enough, even though he had a tremendous impact. What say you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You can tweet me at WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. You can call us, again, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, and give us your input that way. Who is on your Mount Rushmore, player and coach, for the Washington NFL franchise, by any name? Again, is Russ Grimm automatically on, or is that a debatable one? I think that's a debatable one. Is Art Monk automatically on? I think that's debatable, but he's probably on. John Riggins apparently is debatable, at least the way this company sees it. I put him on my initial list. What say you? 301-230-0980. Wherever and however you're listening on the Team 980 on the radio throughout the DMV, we appreciate you. I understand a lot of people are on vacation. A lot of people are knocking off. So, enjoy 4th of July, all that stuff. Don't do anything stupid. But those of you that are with us, those of you that are working, those of you getting in your car, however you're listening, again, on 980 on the AM dial, all throughout the DMV, streaming live, of course, always on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, the team980.com. Also new, as we made the announcement last hour, iHeartRadio and TuneIn. And, of course, you can check out any podcast, any hour, any day, anytime, anywhere on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Right here, we do a trending alert at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. All right, indeed, it is ugly at Nationals Park. Yeah, exactly. And it is ugly, and it got ugly in a hurry. The Nationals are taking on the Detroit Tigers, who have the best record in Major League Baseball since mid-August of last year, and they're getting crushed. 10-0 in the fourth inning. Trevor Williams gave up 6 in the top of the first. It didn't get much better. He's long gone. 10-0 Tigers. Again, in the now bottom of the fourth inning, actually the bottom of the fourth, just wrapped up. 10-0 Detroit, and still a game two to go at 6:45 tonight, separate admission. You can check out that action on 106.7 The Fan, the Nats Radio Network, and, of course, the Odyssey app. Other action across Major League Baseball, the Mets continue to struggle there, but they're up today 2-1 over the Milwaukee Brewers in the fifth. San Diego blanking Philadelphia 6-0 in the fifth. Pittsburgh shutting out St. Louis 5-0 in the eighth. And the Tampa Bay Rays trying to hang on and beat the Athletics 6-4 in the top of the ninth inning. The Knicks have hired Mike Brown, according to reports. ESPN Shams Charania first on the scene. Former NBA two-time head coach of the year, as he becomes the New York Knicks head coach, replacing Tom Thibodeau, who they fired about a month or so ago. And the Pistons recovering from likely losing Malik Beasley. We opened the show with his saga and all of his legal and financial troubles. They have signed sharpshooter Duncan Robinson and agreed to a 3-year, $48 million deal in a sign-and-trade with the Miami Heat for the rights to Duncan Robinson. And that's what's trending. Y'all, meaning the Bengals front office, have never done before. But in y'all, you like to just bring back some oldies but goodies, don't you? I see what you're doing. I see what you're cooking over there. I see what you're doing. All right, welcome back. We are more than halfway home on this Wednesday. Nice to have you with us. As we take you up until 4 o'clock, the carnage going on at Nationals Park is just out of control. It's 10-0 Tigers, as we mentioned during the trending alert. I don't know what you can say about that. We'll just leave it at that. Just an embarrassing, awful performance by Trevor Williams and the Nationals on a warm Wednesday afternoon in front of about 3,000 of your best friends. So we got into this Mount Rushmore for the NFL franchise in Washington. I spun it off of a company called Total Pro Sports. They put Art Monk, Russ Grimm, Sammy Baugh, Daryl Green on their Mount Rushmore, but they did players only. So I allowed an expansion to executives and coaches. And I said, hey, in a franchise that, you know, is almost 100 years old, there's a lot of names. And it's hard to pick just four. But is it, again, on my initial list, I put Daryl Green number one, Sammy Baugh. I did put John Riggins. And maybe, again, I'm a little bit partial. I like Riggo, number one, as a person. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but whenever we see each other, you know, very pleasant. We worked together for a little while. Riggo, obviously, tremendously important to this franchise, and he did play here for what? What was it, 7 or 8 years, whatever it was? Does he deserve to be on that Mount Rushmore? Or was it just not enough? And look, I understand that John Riggins is a controversial, polarizing figure. I get it. But we all know what John Riggins meant to this organization in terms of its glory days. We all know. Right? We all know. You don't have to be that smart to figure it out. But is that enough? I don't know. It may be for some. It may not be for you. So I invite you to tell me. I think how I'm going to go is I'm going to stick to my gut and say, yes, Darryl Green, obviously. Yes, Sammy Baugh. I'm going to put John Riggins still there. I think I'm going to go, even though I love Coach Gibbs and Bobby Bethard, I think I'm going to stick with a fourth player and just go Art Monk as that fourth spot. And I started thinking about, could you make an argument already that Jaden Daniels does? And the answer for me is hell no. I mean, Jaden Daniels is great. And it appears that the organization is in really good hands. It appears. You need to see it more than 1 year. You can't put. That's not fair. That's not fair to put Jaden Daniels in that one category. And back to Riggins. I mean, if you look at what he did, obviously, in the postseason, what he did here in Washington, and you combine it with what he did with the New York Jets, maybe the argument is bolstered. But I assume many of you that might have an issue with John Riggins being on the Mount Rushmore of the Washington NFL franchise would say, yeah, he didn't do it enough here in Washington. He skipped out 1980 because of the contract dispute. You know? So I don't think there's any wrong answers. It's more of a matter of how you feel. But I wanted to open it up to you guys at 301-230-0980. And again, if you want to tweet me your list, it's at WrestleMania621. Let's go to Rod and Landover, get him aboard here. He wants to weigh in on this. Rod, what you got for your Mount Rushmore of Washington NFL players and coaches, for that matter?
Okay, I'm just going to stick with the players for right now. So okay. I'm going to say my Mount Rushmore for what my eyes have seen. Now, you got to add Dexter Manley to that. To this day, I have never seen a player like Dexter Manley that Washington has ever had on their team, ever. Like, Dexter Manley had a year where he had almost 19 sacks in 1 year. You know, he had 16 sacks, 14 sacks, 13 sacks. I mean, Dexter Manley, we haven't had a player on this team since I've been alive like Dexter Manley in my entire life. So to me, when I look at a Mount Rushmore, I'm looking at a player that is like no other player that the franchise has ever had. Mm-hmm. To me, we've never had a Dexter Manley on the team. Other than, I remember being younger, Chris, when we would be outside playing football and, you know, guys would be like, well, I'm Art Monk, or I'm John Elway, or I'm this guy. Everybody on defense, you always had somebody say, I'm Dexter Manley.
Right.
I mean, Dexter Manley was just a cool...
Well, because he was a cool badass, right? I mean, he was just everything that you would...
Dude.
Yeah, he was everything
that
you want.
He had that big old cut on his face. Mm-hmm. Man, you see Dexter Manley, Dexter Manley was a scary-looking dude. Him and LT in the NFC East, in the NFC. I mean, to me, Dexter Manley got to be on that Mount Rushmore to me.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Did Dexter sell demons? Do you think that causes people to not think of him in that grouping, in that fearsome foursome, if you will? Or do you think it's just sheer numbers? Because I would be willing to bet that you might be the only person, Rod, and it's a good opinion, and you made a very good presentation. I would think you're probably not going to get a lot of votes for Dexter Manley. I love Dexter as a person. I haven't seen him in a while, but I didn't even put him on my initial list.
Well, see, I'm just going by when I think of Mount Rushmore, and I'm not taking away from the other. I've never seen Sammy Baugh play, so I can't even put him on my list. But I'm talking about as far as people that I've seen play. He's the only guy that I ever seen play for this franchise that has had 19 sacks. Like, there's never been anybody on this team that has come close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dominant in the league for about 4 or 5 years straight. If he was in today's NFL with all the social media that we have today, you know, how they talk about Trey Henderson with 34 sacks and all, Dexter Madden was doing the same thing. So to me, you know, I guess maybe he might be overshadowed a little bit because he played in the division with LT and Reggie White. But at the same time, for about a 3 or 4 year span, Dexter Manley was one of the most dominant defensive linemen in the whole NFL.
That's fair. Who else would you have along with Dex?
I would say Darryl Green. I would have to say Art Monk. And I would probably go with maybe Riggo, maybe far as, you know, from what I've seen,
right.
Probably those four players.
Because you're eliminating Ball because you didn't see him, and neither did I. Correct. I mean, I could just go correct. By what I know and what I've read.
Correct. Okay. I couldn't put Ball on my
gotcha.
List. Like I said, yeah.
Yeah, I got gotcha. Okay. Good call, Rod. Thank you. Interesting. I guess I kind of overlook how dominant Dexter Manley was because he could have been even more dominant. And don't forget a few of his sacks, I think 6 or 7 or whatever it was before they even counted sacks as an official statistic. Let's get to Ryan in Calvert County on line 2, AMAC, and get him in here before the break. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hey, Racer. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Ryan? What's going on, man?
Hey, I think it's all on your age factor because I'm 58 years old and I'm a diehard Redskin football team, Commander fan, too.
Yep.
Like, I wouldn't put Sammy Ball on there because my dad might have seen him, but
right.
I never
you didn't
seen
see
Sammy
him.
Ball play.
Yeah, you didn't see him, right.
Right. But, I mean, there's so many different players you put in there. The one caller before me, you know, Dexter Manley, man, he was one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you got Darryl Green and John Riggins. John Riggins, he just wasn't – I love him to death. Plus, the one in the Super Bowl, you know, one of the greatest Super Bowl players.
Sure.
I think it depends on your age. But you got Charles,
but
man.
Do you think it's wrong of me or anyone that didn't see Sammy Ball to put Sammy Ball on that list?
No, because we didn't
see him?
It's the history, but nobody okay. – All these young Commander fans didn't see Gary Clark.
Yeah.
They didn't see Brian
Mitchell.
That's true.
You're right. You're right.
I think it's more of it's kind of hard, man. Because Teddy Butts, I mean, Charles Mann, I know one and all, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of an age thing. But in my opinion, there's no wrong answer.
I wonder if you're sub 30. Just like use that as a kind of, you said you're 58, I'm 51. If you're sub 30, I wonder if you put Terry McLaurin on that list or if you put Trent Williams on that list.
Yeah, they will because of their age.
Yeah.
They just were, I mean, like the Michael Jordan factor. I mean, it's a different sport. But a lot of these younger guys, when I go to work, we argue all the time. Oh, LeBron James is a GOAT.
Right.
No, he's not. Michael Jordan, because they didn't see Michael Jordan play.
I got you. Gotcha. Good call. I appreciate you. Thank you, Ryan. Good to hear from you out in Calvert County. We'll get to AA, Athens after the break. Tim and Frederick, if they can hang on, we'll get you aboard. 301-230-0980, Mount Rushmore. 4 NFL choices for the Washington NFL franchise. Again, Total Pro Sports, where I got this, went with Art Monk, went with Sammy Ball, went with Darryl Green and Russ Grimm. I had a slightly different list, an initial list. I'm open to discussion. There is no right or wrong. Let's discuss it. Let's have some fun. Let's relive it a little bit on the Team 980, the Odyssey app. We're always live and free there. And again, you can listen to us anywhere now, wherever you get your podcast, including iHeartRadio. There you go. What a terrible name. It doesn't represent our identity. Horrible name. Who said that? Whoever that guy is, man, is he an idiot. I don't know who that is. As we approach 3 o'clock, I got Wimbledon on one TV, and I've got the Natty Nats getting spanked on the other TV. Not a lot of great choices.
Whoa.
I mean, Wimbledon's great. Tremendous. But I don't know any of these. I can't even see who it is.
No, it's been a lot. I think it's been a down year. I don't mean to take up too much time, but I think it's been a down year. A lot of upsets.
So. Coco Gauff getting crushed yesterday.
Yeah,
how about
first
that?
Round straight sets.
And she got eliminated in her first post French Open match.
Yeah.
She got, I think, swept away in straight sets, I think, in a smaller tournament.
Okay.
And then yesterday.
Got you.
So she's been really bad since the French. Mm-hmm.
That's always been her problem, though. Like, she's shown that she can hang with the best of the best, mm-hmm. but just hasn't done it consistently.
Friend of mine mentioned grass court season not good to her.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, French one on clay. So, mm-hmm. All right, let's squeeze in a call here. We're doing the Mount Rushmore thing based on Total Pro Sports, who came up with this. So I want to give them credit. Let's go to, let's see who's on hold the longest. Tim in Frederick on line one. What's up, Timmy? How are you?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
What's going on, Tim?
I think you have to consider Bobby Mitchell. He was the first black player to play for mm-hmm. the franchise. He's in the Hall of Fame. And he stayed in the organization for several years after he retired.
So he was on my bigger group list. Again, a guy that I didn't see, didn't really know, but I've learned a lot about, and certainly correctly, very important. He was the second number retired by the organization, if everybody remembers back in 2020. So I know that this is so hard to do, right? Pick four players out of an organization that's been around for almost 95 years or whatever it is, right? And that's won three championships. How do you do that, you know? But Bobby Mitchell was great, based on everything I know. Absolutely. Was he better than Art Monk? Was he better than Daryl Green? I don't know. How do I make that argument? I think we lost him. But Bobby Mitchell is certainly a good candidate. I'll tell you what. To be fair to everybody, why don't we take the time out? We'll go on time. We'll come right back. We'll get your calls in. I see you, Greg. I see you, Julius. I see you, whoever you are, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to submit via tweet, I'll read them all, or as many as we can, at WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. We're live across the DMV on the Team 980. There is no other local sports radio show right now, so hopefully you are being entertained by this one. And if you're listening on demand, welcome aboard. Either way, we're on live 1 to 4 Monday through Friday right here. AMAC is ably producing this fine radio show, Graham, and we are live with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.